This podcast is a production of America Matters Media. Explore more episodes of this show and other great shows on the America Matters Media Podcast Network by visiting americamatters.us. Be sure to subscribe and leave a review at your favorite place to download podcasts. The views expressed in this show do not necessarily represent those of the company or its advertisers, although we think they should. But that's the opinion of America Matters Media.
Welcome to The Ron Edwards Show. Informative interviews, stimulating conversations, controversy. Prepare yourself. Here's Ron Edwards.
Well, hello and good day, my fellow Americans. You are listening to your radio refreshment, Ron Edwards. I am he, and welcome to this edition of the Ron Edwards American Experience. I'm glad to be with you. It's a blessing to once again have the opportunity to talk with my fellow Americans across this great nation and even throughout the world via americamatters.us. Also, we are emanating from our flagship station, KCKQ, 1180 AM. That's in beautiful Reno, Nevada. Those mountains surrounding that city, it's really a nice picturesque scene, especially this time of the year going forward into the spring and summertime. And it's really, really wonderful. Speaking of wonderful, things are going rather well in our republic. Yep, despite all of the, the wringing of hands concerning the coronavirus. At the outset, before we get into the details and get into the weeds a little bit, I must say that this too shall pass. This has been a pretty bad situation in some states of our republic, for instance, like in New York, where you have proportionately more folks there as coronavirus victims than anywhere else in the country. But it's going to be okay. We're going to be pretty much out of the woods, I believe, in about 5 weeks. Things will begin to die down, maybe even before that, especially as we get the testing going on. The president has been holding a news conference, and he has, yes, declared a national emergency as the outbreak does escalate. But because of the way they've been dealing with it, and because of the way certain states as well are dealing with it correctly, such as Ohio and Texas and Florida, great states, even Cuomo is doing a pretty good job in getting the testing out in their state. America, this is the good thing about this. This is showing Americans once again how we can work together to overcome an issue, and that working to overcome problems for the American people, for this great republic, is a lot better than just trying to cut each other off at the knees and ruin the nation. Because when it comes down to it, we have to fight together to preserve this great republic. Now, we also have to keep our elderly citizens in our prayers, because they are the most vulnerable, and those that are compromised in their immune systems, whether they have chronic illnesses and other maladies that could be, disturbing their bodies. But overall, this is not too bad. Like I said, in the past, we've had much worse pandemics growing around the world and even in our own nation. But we're going to be okay. I really believe that. And it's the American way anyway. We hit a crisis, we deal with it, and things move ahead. But I just want to give you an example of how I think things have been overplayed. For instance, during the Trump administration, the COVID-19 coronavirus, so far we've had about close to 1,400 cases and 41 deaths in the country so far. The media and the leftist political folks have tried to create a huge panic and mass hysteria in order to bring the entire economy down to a halt, and because people would forget that it wasn't Trump's fault, but they would hope that that would, try to kind of hurt his chances to be reelected. Now, if you think back a few years under President Ali Obama, the H1N1 virus, remember that? We had 60.8 million cases. And guess how many died, folks? 12,496. Hey, There was no panic level. In fact, the media told everyone to chill out. They didn't create a stir like they're trying to do now. Because of the philosophical, commonality between the media and Ali Obama. And so they worked with him to make things seem not as bad as they were. It is amazing how Americans allow our republic to be so manipulated, even down to our personal lives. And so that's where, you know, the rubber meets the road concerning we the people, my friends. We have to grow up as Americans. I know most of us are adults, especially who are listening to this broadcast, although we do have some children listening. I've gotten a few emails to that effect. And thank the young Americans for listening. And I thank your parents for turning you on to this broadcast. But we have to learn to look at a situation and deal with it and not panic. Because whether you panic or not, you're going to have to deal with the situation. So it's better to be level-headed about it, deal with it, and however bad or however good it is, that's how we deal with it, and we keep it moving, and we allow the solutions to come forth. And speaking of bringing forth solutions, as we continue to free up the American economy, guess what? You open the door to many more innovations that would be brought forth more quickly, because you need that incentive. That economic incentive is very good. That's why I'm in support of a payroll tax cut, because especially for small business owners and those working for a living, being paid hourly, people will have more to save, people will have more to spend, stimulate the economy, and that's another less burden that folks that are in the business of finding solutions to certain problems like diseases that they have to deal with. So, I mean, and that's what this president is about. He sees a problem, recognizes it, and tries to find solutions and knock silly red tape obstacles out of the way. I mean, people in the government have for so many years just allowed things to become bogged down. And we got to get away from that. It's either about getting solutions or saying screw it, like they did in other nations. And so, my fellow Americans, we've got to really shape up about that. We're getting better because we have a better government situation that is improving, but we've got a lot of work to go. Anyway, you're listening to the Ron Edwards American Experience. I'll be back with a very special guest right after this.
Ron Edwards, the new voice of America.
Enjoying a cup of tea and listening to the Ron Edwards Experience? It doesn't get any better than that.
Yeah, it sure doesn't, gang. And you're listening to the Ron Edwards American Experience. Thanks so much for joining me. And you can join in, too, at 844-790-TALK. That's 844-790-8255. A lot of things to discuss today. And we've been already talking about Trump's speech today concerning the coronavirus pandemic. And he's enlisted some major corporations to get involved with the fight. He's getting people from all walks of political and economic life to work together on this, and maybe he'll start a new pattern in our country. But we'll be getting to that stuff a little later. Right now, I want to introduce to you a great person. Her name is Brindy Wells, and she's a great lady. She's comes to us. Now, she's a true, if she's got her citizenship, she's a true African-American. See, when people look at me, a black person, and say, hey, you're an African-American. No, I'm not. I was born here, and thus makes me only an American. Brindy, I want to thank you for joining me today on the broadcast. And you are actually an African-American, isn't that true?
Yes, thanks so much for having me. I was born in South Africa, and I grew up there, and I have since come to the United States. I've been here for almost 4 years now. But yes, I am African, born African. I am as much an African as you are an American. And yes, so I haven't got my citizenship. I've got my residency, yes. And I'm grateful to be here, because if I'm back in my country, I'm in fear for my life.
Now, that's where I want to get into. The media for a long time has been, in my opinion anyway, ignoring the tragedy that has become, in my opinion, one of the most beautiful places on earth, and that is South Africa. I know Americans, all of them kind of liberal in their thinking or leftist in their thinking, and they go to Africa, they go there, and they come back, and I ask them about these political tragedies and things of that nature. And they go beyond the tourist spots, so, you know, they get to see more of the, you know, and they say, oh, no, nothing bad is happening, nothing like that is happening. And I'm thinking to myself, I don't say anything, I just, you know, move along. But tell us, share with us some of the tragedies that are happening, especially to the farmers over there. I'm concerned because, remember Rhodesia, I believe, which used to have a lot of white farmers. They wiped them out, and now Rhodesians, who were kind of dumb and didn't learn how to farm, are kind of hungry and dependent upon the UN or the U.S. for food. Is that how it goes?
Yes, that's true. Predominantly, most of the Rhodesians, or Zimbabweans, as they are now known, have fled to South Africa, where they are now facing a different kind of famine and terror, is xenophobia. So their own... The black people in South Africa are killing the Zimbabwean black people because they're stealing their jobs, you know. So it's not safe for anybody really in that country. But I did look into what you just mentioned earlier, and the government is using a lot of aid money, specifically from the United States, to protect the tourism companies and the information that goes out into the world, because without tourism, they really will completely go bankrupt. But not only just information, but also security and special forces to protect the tourism spots, the high tourism spots. So even if you do go into those areas, that's probably where you'd be the safest. But it's quite expensive to go there, so, because that's where tourism makes their money.
Do you think that there will ever come a time, before we get into some more of the details, that the South Africans will wake up and say, hey, wait a minute, this ANC mentality and philosophical base is destructive, and we need to try to adopt a more free market economics, things that were promoted by people like Chief Buthelezi of the Zulu tribe as far back as the 1980s. He opposed the Marxism of everyone's hero over there. His name was
Nelson Mandela.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Nelson Mandela.
Yeah, yes, the Mandela fellow.
Yes, that guy.
He fooled a lot of people. Even me for a season, I thought he was different from his wife, Winnie, who was, I guess, more violent, and he was smoother with his approach. And therefore, I was able to fool a lot of people, and they adopted that philosophy. And my gosh,
I think to answer your question is that Buthelezi had the majority support, because there are more Zulus than Xhosas. But what we and the world don't understand is that these people were funded by Soros. So Mandela, de Klerk, all the people that were in top government. Funded by the Soros Foundation at the time, and this is before we knew these things that were happening, they sold us out to communism. Buthelezi was overthrown, and that's why there was such huge violence before the election in 94. It wasn't whites against black, it was the Zulus against the Xhosas in terms of who was going to win the 94 election. Since then, the ANC took over. It's communism in blackface, really, if you want to just think about it. And they have what communism does. It started slowly, and they are now in a full-blown dictatorship. So even if the people do wake up, in which they have, they've marched down the streets, black, white alike, protesting everything that they are doing, from the lack of infrastructure to every municipality that is now bankrupt, the healthcare, everything is collapsed. Plus, they're killing the farmers who is feeding them. And it's not just the white people that's talking up, it's the black people, but they're suppressing them and threatening them. So when you are in full-blown communism, just like when you look at China, there's practically no way out of it. You've got to shoot your way out of it. You can vote your way into it, but you've got to shoot your way out of it.
Now, see, that people are wondering, might be wondering, well, why would I be bringing up South Africa today, considering all the things that are going on in our country? But I have been very concerned, especially in recent months, when it came out that in the United States of America, over 40% of all college graduates, and it's close to that level as far as high school graduates, are in support of socialism and communism in our country. And they have this romanticized view, which I think is retarded, that everyone can be equal. I don't want what you have, Brindy. I want as much as I can achieve according to my God-given talents. And I want the same for you, which does not guarantee that you and I will have the same thing. We don't have the same taste in housing. I might like a prairie type house. You may like a ranch. You know what I'm saying?
And exactly.
That's the beauty of capitalism, where you have more choices. You bring forth innovations for guess what? For viruses. You're in a better position to cure diseases. But this romanticized, sick, retarded belief that socialism will even things up, it never evens things up, because you have that ruling wealthy class ruling over the incurably ignorant masses. So there's still unevenism. And so what say you? Is my concern valid concerning our country?
Of course it is. It is. And if you look at the background, it is the same people behind it, the open societies, the Rothschilds, it's the same people as the world agenda. South Africa was the test base, it was a test case. They're trying to implement the same thing. Yeah, I can tell you why. I can see everything that's happening now. I've just been through. It's like being in the Twilight Zone. So when I tell John, listen, next thing they're going to take down the statues, and then they do, it's not because I'm clairvoyant, it's because I've been through it. It's the same recipe. If you mix the same ingredients, you're baking the same cake. So what I'm saying and what you just said is Marxism, communism is designed to destroy. Just go read a book called Marx and Satan. This is a battle between good and evil. On paper, communism looks beautiful, fair, equality. But in reality, none of us are equal. We all have different skills, just like the Bible says. You know, you can't all be brain surgeons. You can't all be hairdressers. We all have a skill. We all form part of one body. And if we put our skills together, that's where the power is, not to make everybody equal. You can't chop somebody's legs off because another guy can't run. So it doesn't work like that. But this is the brainwashing that they've done with our kids. They think it makes sense. They think it's going to be fair. They think it's going to be. But it's the same as Lenin, who promised peace, bread, and land. And what did they get? Starvation and death. And that is what it really is. It's the biggest deceit in the history of mankind.
You know something, and we've only got about a minute, but I think that communism is the greatest form of selfishness probably in the history of the world. Because while people are, the incurably ignorant masses are fooled in believing that just being equal is good, first of all, that's horrible when I think about it. These people that are brainwashing everyone, hey, they live in their luxurious homes. Bernie Sanders, for example, he condemns the wealthy, but yet he owns three homes. Mike, the guy who ran for governor, I mean, not for governor, for president of the United States, he spoke many of the same things, but yet he's one of the richest men in the world. And how did he get it? Through hard work. But it's like they get this wealth and they want to shut the door behind them and make it more difficult for the rest of us to acquire wealth in the same manner, which
but
I think
all
is
about
evil.
Power.
Yeah, power. Power over what, though? You know,
power over
you
the people. Power, the ultimate power to rule the world, you know? That's selfishness, because at the end of the day, they don't care about us. To us, to them, we are just useful idiots. It's about the ultimate power at the top, and they will lie, steal, and do anything to achieve that.
Yeah. But it's power over rubble, too, because if you look at certain American cities that run under socialism, they're run-down hot messes, and these mayors have power over garbage, and they should be ashamed of the legacy they leave behind. But one thing we cannot leave behind is this commercial break that's coming up right now, and you're listening to the Ron Edwards American Experience.
The coronavirus infestation must be dealt with in ways that are most effective in wiping it out, not destroy the United States economy. Hello, I'm Ron Edwards. On today's page from the Edwards Notebook, President Trump has tried to do his best to deal with the coronavirus in a way that will not damage the U.S. economy. He understands that a strong economy provides the ability to more effectively overcome coronavirus. It was correct to impose travel bans between the United States and China, and the United States and Europe as well. Of course, open-border globalist pigs accuse the president of being xenophobic. I find it both interesting and irritating that hundreds of Chinese nationals have been allowed to slip into our republic since the onset of coronavirus. It was encouraging to learn that Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu discussed with U.S. Vice President Pence and European leaders about developing a personal testing kit that will enable self-testing, and those testing positive could be more quickly quarantined and treated the same way as those with HIV and be separated from the healthy more effectively and efficiently. Rest assured, my fellow Americans, this too shall pass, and the best is yet to come. I'm Ron Edwards. Check out theronedwards.talkspot.com for news updates and other great stuff.
Ron Edwards, the new voice of America.
Sponsored by the Tri-County Liberty Coalition.
Hey, it's the Captain, Matt Bruce, and you're listening to the Ron Edwards Experience with Ron Edwards.
Hello, I'm Ron Edwards, and I am back, and you are listening to the Ron Edwards American Experience, and thank you so much for tuning in today, and you can also tune in and join in at 844-790-TALK. That's 844-790-8255. And again, this show emanates from our flagship station, CKQ, that's AM 1180. That's every Friday at this time. And also, we are heard worldwide via americamatters.us. And you can also hear this show rebroadcast on several stations throughout the country. The most recent one to pick us up is WCET. That's FM 101.7 in Columbia, South Carolina. Also, if you like good reading, check out my columns every week. I have great columns on America Out Loud. This week, my column going to tick off a lot of leftists, but that's okay. That's what we're supposed to do, I guess. The truth hurts certain people. And it's entitled Barbarians American Style. I think you'll find that very interesting if you check out my columns over there. Also, for more information about where you'll find the Edwards Notebook, which is my commentary now heard on almost 300 stations around the great United States of America, you can go to my website, theronedwards.com. That's theronedwards.com website, where you'll see news updates. You'll see some of my columns there as well. You'll see archived commentaries where you can check it out, and also other information too, how you can even purchase one of my great tea mugs. Great stuff. Anyway, back to the show. Our special guest is Mrs. Brindy Wells. She's a wonderful person. She's living in the United States. She's from South Africa. And the reason why I'm having her on is because, you know, even in the midst of the coronavirus situation, I have been concerned for a long time that America is taking on too much of the Marxism that is around the world, plaguing many countries, including South Africa. And South Africa is further along in that effort than we are in this country. And sorry to say that, but Ms. Brindy, I tell you, I'm looking at a bunch of stories on here about your country, South Africa. I don't know where to start. Everywhere I'm looking at corruption here and there. And it just seems that it's a wonderful place with so much great potential, and I'm hoping that you guys can turn it around, because it's such a beautiful place, and I understand how it started and all that, and people may be angry about the apartheid that went on for many years and all of that, but there comes a time, just like here in the United States, that people need to put on their adult pants or skirts, grow up, and get on with life and build for the good from that point.
Hey, Ron, sorry to interject. It appears that we've either lost Miss Wells or she's hung up. So we're going to attempt to contact her again, but just wanted to let you know.
Okay. Anyway, there we go. It seems that right now, We're going to be getting our guest back. There might be a technical glitch here. But anyway, just looking at this situation in South Africa, it's really heartbreaking. I'm looking here. You got these huge protests where you've got these blown up trucks blocking an entire freeway and other situations going on. But I want to, while we're waiting on our special guest to return, you know, these are what I'm going to talk about right now for a few minutes is something that I don't take pleasure in. But, you know, remember in the last election cycle, a lot of Black Americans were in support of Tallahassee Mayor Andrew Gillum and his bid to become the Florida governor. And we all know that he was a communist and is a communist, and that's bad enough. But, you know, you have to look at the moral underpinnings of a lot of these people. It's just that we found out that last night that CNN, and this is according to CNN, former Democrat candidate for Florida Governor Andrew Gillum was found inebriated early this morning in a hotel where meth was recovered. He was there with two other men. He's 40 years of age, and he was in the Mandarin Hotel there in South Beach with two other guys, and they all were on these methamphetamines and just out of it, out of their minds. And they think that there was an orgy going on, and we know that he's married. But this is the mindset. I'm not talking about his particular actions, but it's kind of reflective of the general mindset of Democrats today. And you wonder why, you know, you say, why are they so leftist in their politics? Well, it's all wrapped up together. It all comes from an immoral base. If you look at whomever across the board, things are going to be coming out about some of the bigger fish in the sea on the political left. And it's not going to be just about their politics. But you'll see that the root of their politics is based and steeped in immoral thinking. You know, there is a root or a seed to leftism or communism or socialism, you know, in a system of thinking that would want to wipe out our ability to rise economically and to have great families and great schools and put ourselves in a position to prosper, to put our society in a position where people could would be economically encouraged to bring forth innovations, new inventions, and be creative in their society. So I, you know, some people say that, you know, I go too far in thinking about those things, but there is a root cause to all of these things. There literally is. And I'm not pointing this guy out just to point him out. I'm pointing this story out because we, the people, when we go to the polls, whether we're voting for a Republican or a Democrat, first of all, we need to check our motives at the door. You know, we've got to see what are our motives to vote for whomever. What is it that we want these people to do or not do? You know, Thomas Jefferson said that a government that governs less governs best. Well, you know that everyone from the left, whether it's Gillum, whether it's Nasty Pelosi, Schumer, all of these people want to govern more. They want more control over you. And so they want to take us where South Africa is. They want to take us where Venezuela is. They want to take us where Cuba is. They want to be able to do whatever the heck they want to do. But you and I would be stifled in our ability to just live in a good way. They want to be able to limit what you can drive, how big your house can be, how much land you can own, how much food you can purchase. And if you don't want to believe me, go and check these things out for yourself. These people want to eliminate. I'm surprised they don't want to, you know, limit how many breaths you can take in an hour. They are political, government-oriented control freaks who want to control every aspect of your life from cradle to grave. Why do you think that they gain control of the government school system and from the federal level, they took over the entire school systems of America, made it all one big conglomerate in order to poison the minds of the majority of young Americans, because they wanted to fundamentally change this country into a hellhole. They already did it in spots. Whether it was Detroit, East St. Louis, majority of the east side of Cleveland, South Side of Chicago, Baltimore, all these places where leftist thinking has already been in focus for many decades. And those are the same principles that you would find in Cuba or anywhere else. So now they've become emboldened and have been trying to encapsulate our entire nation in this. This is why there's such a vitriol hatred of Donald John Trump, our president, because he is battling against that. And when you throw in the globalist movement as well, it's another form of massive control. And so that's what we're up against, folks. But it's a battle that we can win. We just have to make better choices when it comes to the voting booth and how we allow our children to be instructed as they mature. I'm Ron Edwards. You're listening to the Ron Edwards American Experience, and I shall return.
Hey, y'all.
Hey.
This is Diamond and Silk. Mm-hmm. Don't you touch that dial.
You better not.
You better come back.
Mm-hmm. Enjoying a cup of tea and listening to the Ron Edwards Experience? It doesn't get any better than that.
Green tea for me. What's yours? Hi, you're listening to the Ron Edwards American Experience, and thanks so much for being with me today. And our guest, Brindy, Wells had to go, but she will be back on an upcoming episode because she had a lot to say about things going on in South Africa and how America needs to be rescued from that trail of thinking. Anyway, President Trump correctly continues to want a payroll tax cut. We need that. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, on the other hand, and other Democrats do not want a payroll tax cut. You know, it's just too much of a simple solution. To be fair, rhinos like Lindsey Graham also do not want the payroll tax cut. They say it will make the deficits get worse. Well, well, well. See, these people are such dishonest little worms. First of all, tax cuts do not themselves make a deficit. What makes a deficit is what comes after the tax cut. Because whenever you have a tax cut, guess what happens? Economic activity increases. So there is actually more money coming into the tax coffers of the government. Right now, you have more money coming in than any other time in our American history. But guess what happens? The Congress always makes sure that they are spending above whatever is coming in. So when they say that, well, tax cuts, we don't want to continue and increase the deficit, are they kidding? I mean, I wonder how they can stand there or sit there with a straight face and say that, considering they are the reasons themselves. You know, it's basically bull capital S with a hit. As always, any tax cuts not only benefits we the people, either directly or indirectly, but revenues coming into the government, I'll repeat it, always increase when taxes are reduced. Especially when you reduce it to small business activity, payroll taxes, you know, to workers and all of that. Even if people don't spend more and they decide to save, because I love to save, that still boosts the economy. Because if your savings in banks or good credit unions, where you get a better interest rate or taxes or whatever, in certain areas, guess what? There's more money available for business loans, for businesses that want to expand, build new office towers or whatever. So it all works hand in hand if you lower taxes. The only thing, the only problem in the midst of all of this is the government, the Congress purposely spending more than whatever comes in. And the dirty aspect of this is that, you know, the uncaring politicians always and purposely spend more. Then the media and those who chronicle our history, they always blame the president. Unless, of course, that president is a Democrat. Now, to her credit, Pelosi said that, quote, we're close as far as getting an agreement with Trump over the, you know, to bring some help or relief for the economy. And I hope it is just not just an infusion of more fiat dollars. Because all that does, you know, it's like a quick hit. It's like a sugar high to the economy. It comes in, bam-o, and there's a few, you know, a few days of, wow, all this extra money, and then goes right back down because the government spends it all anyway. It doesn't come from a solid base. It is just, in fact, the more you bring money into the economy that way, through fiat money that is not based on anything of intrinsic value, you decrease the spending power of each dollar. See, it's not always how much money you have, it's how powerful is your dollar. Does your dollar today buy as much as it did in 1960? Of course not. It's not because the dollar, you look at the dollar, it's still a dollar. But because of things that the government has done, that dollar, that same dollar, does not buy as much as it did. And so we, the people, have to, as they would say in the Bowery Boys, smarten up and understand how we're being screwed through legal edict. We're sitting up there watching. You talk about a frog in water. I mean, and we're sitting up there just watching them screw us, just looking at them. And so I'm telling you, folks, this stuff is not very complicated. You know, a stimulus package, whoop-de-doo. The best stimulus we can have is tax cuts and also continuing to get rid of regulations that are cumbersome, that have nothing to do with safety, product quality, or anything like that. But when you have these red tape things where you've got to go to this board, you've got to go to this committee, you got to go to that, some cities, when it comes to building new skyscrapers or building, after all these centuries of people building buildings, they still have to go through this committee and get approval. No, it should be more of a free market-based situation, so that if you build a product and it's trash, guess what? Guess who pays? Guess who suffers? The person that builds the trash, because the people are not going to buy it. You're going to go out of business. A competitor can come along and beat you out of your own business legally. It's about competition, folks. Competition, and in a environment where you have low taxes, where the biggest problem a business owner should have is his competitor. That's it. And being able to outthink his competitor, that's what it should be about. And when you have that kind of an environment, you have a much better situation. Look at Singapore. Look at how prosperous those cities are. Go to Tokyo. How beautiful and clean they are and prosperous. The lights, I mean, it's just they're gleaming cities. So we're a great nation, we're the greatest, but we really have to start rethinking how we do certain things in this country and what we allow to continue in our government. We need to throw the bums out. If you're a Republican and you don't live up to the ideals of the Republican Party, and those ideals are based on biblical principles, if you don't live up to that, you should be fired from your position even before election time. in the private sector. If someone's hired, let's say they're given a 5-year contract, but yet they do a real horrible job, and by their second year, it is just horrible. It's just not working. You know what happens? The private sector, they cut ties. They give them a free box so that they can put their belongings in it, and then they're escorted out. They leave. Why is it that we, the people, have to allow government officials, whether it's the mayor of Chicago, whether it's whomever, that are doing damage to this country, damage to our rights, damage. Why should we be allowed, why should we be forced to put up with them until election day, and then because there's so many idiots, they're able to persuade the idiots to keep them in office? So there needs to be some kind of a mechanism, a constitutional Bill of Rights means test. If you are not governing on behalf of this nation according to the principles enumerated in our Bill of Rights and Constitution, you're out of here. Forget about it. You go. And I don't think that is dictatorial. I don't think that takes away from the tenets of our constitutionally limited form of government. I really don't. That gives more power back to the people. But then we, the people, have to be brought up to speed on what are the principles of the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. And why don't we know more of our Federalist Papers? Okay, so in order for us to expect government to act according to constitutional principles, we have to know what they are too, so that we can take action. I mean, it's about time that we stop allowing ourselves to be screwed out of what is the greatest nation in the history of the world. There's so much more greatness to be achieved. As great as we are, we've merely scratched the surface. I'm convinced that despite this coronavirus crap and the things going on with the Democrats and all of that, the globalist pigs, our best days are still ahead of us. It's not over. We're just in a battle right now. That's all we're in. We're just in a little war, a little battle, and that's okay. History is replete with battles, and many times the good guys won. And I believe in this situation, the good people of America shall be victorious. We've got a good president. We've got a decent vice president. I believe God is on the side of those who want this country to be great. Truly great. The task is not too big for us. The task is something we can handle, but we have to be willing to stand on principle and not back down. But I would really like to see something like that happen, where if you're not operating according to principles, the principles you ran on, then you're kicked out. And we just tell you, bye now. Well, this is Ron Edwards. I have to tell you, bye now.